Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
And if you're a guy with two brothers, like jewelry shopping is like foreign as, had no idea what I was doing. I got her a necklace, it was all good. But she got me a Bible, so she obviously won. And then I thought about it for her next, the next time that I had to get her a present. It was her 18th birthday. So I wanted to get her something special, and so I decided I'd go to Coorong Bookstore. I'd get her something from there. Great idea. She'll respect me in that. And so then I make the trip down Flaggy Hill Road. So I'm travelling down there, and I realise that I'm running out of petrol. I'm like, darn it, I'm going to have to fill up with petrol. So who knows the Hungry Jacks and Maccas at Darlington? I'm sure you guys will be well aware of that. Well aware. So there's the BP and there's the Shell. So I look at the Shell, and then I'm like, all right, now that's 2 cents more expensive than the BP. So I go fill up at the BP. But then I realise that if you're thinking about South Road, if I want to go back to the city, I have to turn right. And so to turn right, you actually can't do that there. You have to turn left, first of all, and do a U-turn. So you're sort of with me there? So there's three lanes there, and I look to my left, and there's a red light. So there's a few cars banked up there. And then I'm wanting to obviously get in the far two lanes to be able to do a U-turn. So I look to the far lane and there's a car in the distance. So that's fine. And then I look at the first lane, there's no one in there. And then I look at the second lane and slowly this like farm tractor starts pulling up slowly. And there's a red light there. So he sort of waves me, he stops and is polite and he waves me through. He goes, "You go, mate, you go." So I don't look right again. I just look at him and go, awesome. I pull out into that first lane. The only error with that is I wasn't the only one in that lane anymore. I'd forgotten about looking right again, and this car in that third lane had actually merged and moved two lanes over to me. And it's that split second. Who's ever been in a car crash before? It's that split second. I'm like, do I brake? Do I accelerate? And then it just went thud, crashing into the front corner of my car. And then I look up at the guy in the tractor and he's just like there, stunned. He turns away instantly and starts driving forward. And then it's a green light. He's like, nah, I had nothing to do with that. And so I reverse back. I'm pretty devastated. I've crashed my mum's car for the second time in a year. And it's a different car. Like I crashed the red van and then now I crashed the Getz. I'm like, oh boy, this is not good. And I pull into the petrol station and out gets the car. See, it's a young girl, a P-plater. And she is sobbing. There's like tears strolling down her face. I'm like, oh no, this is terrible. And then her mum gets out. And then I realise I know them. It's my little brother's friend's sister and mum that he plays cricket with. And I'm like, you're kidding me. And she's not happy. She recognises me, but she's not happy. And the reason is it's this girl's first drive after getting her P's. She's just been to the motor reg. And her mum's telling me that it's taken her forever to get her P's because she's not been confident enough. First drive, I've crashed into her. What made it even worse is she also had a new car, which she had just got, and this was her first drive in her car, and I'd written it off. They weren't happy, and I just remember getting back to my car and just sitting there, and a tear rolled down my cheek, and I'm like, maybe I'm just not cut out to be a driver. Maybe I'm just going to ride public transport for the rest of my life. I don't know if any of you guys can relate to this. It may be that you've crashed yourself and you're like, driving is hard. Or it might be that you've played a sport and you've let that winning goal through for the other team and you've lost the team. I know Jack had five goals kicked on him today. I'm sorry, Jack. You can probably relate to that. Poor Jack hadn't let through, I think he only let through one goal the whole season. And then no goals. And then gets to the last game, he lets through five goals. But poor bloke. It might be that you, in a maths test, you fail and you're just like, I'm not cut out for school. I wonder if you've ever felt, in relation to that, that you're not cut out to be a Christian. Or maybe you see yourself as never being one, as you view it as just being good all the time. And that's something that you can actually never attain yourself. I don't know if you've grown up in church or just outside of it, you might have heard this word sin. Who's heard of the word sin? Yeah, most of you. Most of us would say sin is a bad thing, but what is sin? We hear this word sin, it doesn't really relate to most of our other life apart from in the Bible. Sin is missing the mark from following God and his holiness and what it tells us in the Bible. It's sort of like an archer pulling back his bow and shooting at a target. But it's not just missing, it's completely missing in the opposite direction. A complete failure. And we can all be guilty of missing the mark. You could obviously think in your head of the times that you've stuffed up, you've sinned against God. And it's often to satisfy your own desires. It might be something that you've thought of. It might be something that you've said. It might even be an act towards someone else. It might be jealousy. It might be anger. It may be that at that time, you weren't meaning to do that. You were actually really striving hard to follow Jesus, to be good. But you get discouraged when you find a way to slip up despite your best intentions. I know best intentions is a word that gets thrown around sometimes, but when I married my wife, Jazz, I'm getting to that story again, that my intention was to love her selflessly. We made vows to each other, promises that I would love her selflessly. And then my little brother came back from America a few weeks ago, and he gave us these special M&Ms that you couldn't get in Australia. And I love sugar. Who else has a sweet tooth? Like, I love sugar. That's my weakness. And so we get home. I open up my packet of M&Ms. I eat a couple. And then I think, oh, I've eaten so much sugar lately. Maybe I won't eat these. I'll just throw out the packet. Sorry, Ben. I threw out the packet. I was like, I don't want to eat so much. If we fast forward 24 hours, Jazz is at netball training, and so she really didn't want to eat her M&Ms because she's been eating good lately. So she hides her M&Ms for a better day. And I'm looking through the cupboard. It's after dinner. I'm watching Netflix. And you know when you're watching TV, you just want to sit there eating something? So I'm looking there, and I see Jazz's packet of M&Ms. And then I go, she won't care if I eat one or two. That'll be fine. And then I eat one or two, and then I'm like, maybe three or four? And then I get to the end of the episode, and I've eaten the whole packet. I'm trying to think, I'm like, what do I do now? And so this in my moment, I'm like, all right, I need to hide this. So I don't just put the packet in the bin. I sort of like rummage through the bin a bit and put it like halfway down. So she's not going to find the packet. And it takes her a few days to realize, but I might have had good intentions originally, but in that instant, I sort of was done by temptation and I might have made a mistake there. You may feel like God won't use you because of the mistakes that you've made in your life. Maybe it has to be until you get your act together, until you do more good things in your life. Is your view of Christianity, or are you actually living in your life, just striving to be perfect, to try to limit the amount of mistakes that you make? So we're going to look at a new series, Into the Wild. It's about a guy called Abraham. So he's one of the first guys in the Bible, early on in Genesis. And so Abraham is called by God. God tells him, all right, you're living here, go into this other land, live there. And he also makes another promise to him and tells him that he is going to be the father of many descendants. It says, as numerous as the stars in the sky. So that is a lot. The only issue with that is Abraham is married to a lady, Sarah, but they have no kid. So how are they meant to have descendants? So you think maybe they'll have a kid. But the issue is Abraham is old. Like, he's really old. You know when like old people have that old person smell? Like, he's that old. Is anyone else? Yeah. Not a bad smell, but there is some sort of smell for old people. I don't know about you. Yeah, it's not a great smell. But he's 75 years old. Who has grandparents that are 75 or younger? Can you imagine them having kids? Is that weird? So it's a pretty crazy promise by God to Abraham. Abraham's probably thinking, how is this going to happen? But yet, Abraham actually has faith in God, and it doesn't matter about his circumstances, he still puts his faith, even though the facts don't actually line up. But then if we look at Genesis 16, time passes, and Abraham and Sarah, they get a little impatient. Abraham's now 85 years old. He's old. So Sarah, his wife, takes matters into her own hands, and they have a slave called Hagar. And Sarah says to Abraham, how about you have a child with Hagar instead? Abraham actually agreed to this. And it was the idea that their thought was actually better than God's. It was an easier alternative. I don't know if that sounds similar to some things that we do in our lives. We go for the easier alternative instead of what God actually has for us. And as mistakes go, as that happens, there's often consequences. So Sarah, although she suggested it to Abraham, she now blames Abraham for doing it. Abraham blames Sarah. There's infighting. And Sarah and Hagar, the slave, they actually despise each other. So this situation where God's made this amazing promise to Abraham, there's peace and harmony, is changed, and there's jealousy and bitterness from this one action. If you think of Abraham and how we hold him up, and you've heard of him before, it's not something you really expect from the father of our faith to make a decision like this. It's actually said in the Bible that he was called God's friend and he was recognized as a man of great faith. But it's actually similar to some other people in the Bible that God used. They made mistakes as well. So there's a guy called Jonah in the whale. He ran away from God, yet God used him. You got Peter. So Jesus says to Peter, "You're the rock on which I'm going to build the early church." Yet just before that, when Jesus got arrested, Peter wanted nothing to do with Jesus. He's like, "No, I don't know this guy." He disowned him 3 times when Jesus was arrested. And then you got Paul. He stood there approving the death of many early Christians, yet God used him from then. And then you got Moses. He murdered an Egyptian. He might have been a magician, who knows? And then you got David. In one act, he broke 5 of the 10 commandments. Can't get much worse than that. He coveted another man's wife. He had sex with another man's wife. He lied, he committed murder, and he stole. So you think those bad things that those people did, but then we think about the things that they did do. You've got one guy that he actually walked on water. You've got another that he actually parted the water. And you've got another guy that defeated a warrior like 2 or 3 times the size of him just with a couple pebbles and a slingshot. It's pretty evident to see that God used these people. He used Abraham, and I believe he actually uses you and I, even if we stuff up. So you may be thinking, why? Why does God use broken people? Well, tap the person on next to you and say, "Don't give up because you mess up." Great. We don't give up because we mess up, because God's faithfulness isn't directly tied to our behavior. And we're no longer actually separated from him from anything that we do. All the things that we do, they have consequences. You're probably aware of the times you stuff up, and there's consequences. They take our focus off God. Before Jesus was around, when the people stuffed up, when they missed the mark and they sinned, there was this massive list of things that they needed to do, make sacrifices and other things. And then this guy Jesus rocks up, and he comes along and he conquers this, and they no longer have to do that. There no longer needs to be this separation between us and God. It says that Jesus conquered sin. In Hebrews 9:26, it reads, "But he has appeared for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." Who's seen the movie Les Mis? A few? Not that many. I would have thought a few more. What? Oh, all good. So in the movie Les Mis, there's Hugh Jackman's character. He's actually forced into hard labor after being caught stealing some bread. So he's there for 19 years, and it really hardens him. And then he's actually released. And for 4 days, he's traveling around trying to find somewhere where he can sleep, rest his head. But he's actually turned away from all these different places. We're going to watch a video. So now Hugh Jackman's character actually is on the doorstep of the bishop, and we're going to pick up from there. If you know me, I can't believe I'm showing a Les Mis video, but that's all good.
"You are weary, and the night is cold out here. Though our lives are very humble, what we have to share. There is wine here to revive you. There is bread to make you strong. There's a bed to rest till morning. Rest from pain and rest from wrong."
Bless the food we eat today. Bless our dear sister and our honored guest.
Stay there!
Monseigneur, we have your silver. We caught this man red-handed.
He had the nerve to say you gave him this.
That is right. But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind.
You forgot.
I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind? Monsieur, release him. This man has spoken true. I commend you for your duty. Now God's blessing go with you. But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for God.
Why not clap it? In that story, it's crazy to see Hugh Jackman. So he, even though the bishop has given him accommodation, he's fed him, he's given him a bed to sleep in, he actually steals the silver. And he's expecting when he's arrested later on and brought before the bishop that the bishop's going to be angry at him, maybe get revenge on him. But instead, the bishop responds in a different way. Instead of Hugh Jackman's character being put back into prison, probably getting what he actually deserves for stealing that silver, the bishop gives him the candlesticks, and he gives him something that he doesn't deserve. He shows him grace, and grace is being given something that we don't deserve. So God loves us more than what we could ever imagine, and he shows us grace by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross in our place for the things that we've done, for the mistakes that we've made. And therefore, there's nothing that anything that you or I can do to get God to actually love us any less or any more. In Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, we'll look at the screen. It reads, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Therefore, being a Christian is not about living a perfect life, doing everything right and striving in your own strength. We're actually saved and get to enjoy eternal life because of what Jesus has actually already done for us. And how we are to respond in that is in faith, to actually believe what he says, believe in him and what he says to be true. Therefore, if you stuff up, God doesn't write you off. God actually uses broken people. Your mistakes don't define you, but rather God's love and his grace for you. You may be thinking to yourself, well, that's great, Matt, but why then do I still sometimes feel trapped, feel weighed down by the things that I've done? If we read now from Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, it reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Where do you look after you stuff up, when you miss the mark, when you sin? When we miss the mark, we can feel the weight of what we've done wrong. I'm not telling you that you need to forget what you've done and not to learn from your mistakes, but rather because what Jesus has done, we don't actually have to dwell in our mistakes and feel separated from God. Rather, in response, immediately we are called to fix our eyes on Jesus. And it is said that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He completes us. He makes whole and fills our weaknesses. He makes up for that. And he makes us whole and in relationship with him. If we come back to the story of Abraham, Hagar and Sarah, it's a pretty messed up situation. There's a lot of hurt going on. But God comes through in this situation. Hagar and her son, it's promised to Hagar that her son will have many descendants as well. And he'll be the head of an important tribe. And then Sarah and Abraham, even though they're super old, they end up having a child of their own. And we'll stay tuned for next week to hear from Luke of Abraham's incredible faith around his child. If you're thinking about Abraham and you've heard of his mistakes, why then do we hold him up? And why do we hold up some of these other people that you've heard of in the Bible? And I believe it's despite his mistakes and Abraham and some of the others, is that he continued to put his faith in God, in God's grace, and he fixed his eyes on Jesus, on God, the author and perfecter of his faith, instead of his mistakes. He believed and he could go confidently into the wild and attack different situations because he believed that he could be used by God despite his weaknesses, despite his insecurities, despite his failures. So I'd love for you to remember, don't give up because you mess up. Don't count yourself out because God doesn't count you out. And therefore, if that actually applies to your life, that actually applies to others. Don't count someone else out because of something that they've done. It may be that someone you know has done something incredibly bad that you think could never be forgiven. Or maybe they've actually done something personally to you. Just remember that Christ actually died for them too, and God's grace actually is extended to them. And therefore, don't count them out from being used by God. I really challenge you tonight to recognize, when you do stuff up, to recognize that, but to cast that away immediately, and immediately to fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. He makes you complete. He fills your weaknesses. And he's a God that actually loves you more than what you could ever imagine, and he desires a relationship with each and every one of us. I'm just going to pray to finish, so if you want to bow your heads with me. Dear God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you, that you love us more than what we could ever imagine. I thank you for the grace that you pour out on us, even though we don't deserve it. I thank you for sending your Son to make sure that there's no separation from you and us, that there's nothing that we can do to strive in our own strength to strengthen that relationship, but rather you've already done that for us. I just pray for anyone here tonight that is feeling the burden of things they've done or just feeling weighed down, that they can leave this place with freedom and with an ability to fix their eyes on you, the author and perfecter of their faith. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. We're just going to sing a few more songs, get back into some worship. As we do this, I'd love if something stirred up in you tonight, to give you an opportunity to respond. As we worship, if you're feeling like maybe you've just been trying to strive to do good, to live a good life, to be a Christian in that way, and to do everything in your own strength, and you feel like you really need to fix your eyes on Jesus, I invite you to come down the front as we're singing. And that might look like you getting down on your knees as we sing. It might be you standing there with your hands up, however you feel led. And it might be that there's just something else in your life that's getting in the way from you seeing Jesus, and you really feel like tonight that you actually need to fix your eyes on Jesus, spend some quality time just soaking him in, having a chat to him, pray to him. I really encourage you tonight to take that step of faith as Abraham did, to go out into the wild, to come down the front and just to respond in that. I'm going to be over to the side here to the right, and there might be another couple leaders as well. If there's something you want prayer for, I'd love to pray for you. I was just reading in the Bible this morning that the prayer of a righteous man is both powerful and effective. Prayer is powerful, so if you feel like you need prayer tonight, don't leave this space. Come up and see me, seek another leader, seek a friend. But yeah, we're just going to worship now.